red. The stripe was white, it was 18 feet from the bow to the stern light. Second hand from a dealer in Atlanta, I rode up with Daddy when he went there to get her. Put on a shine, put on a motor, built out of love, made for the water. Ran her for years till the transom got rotten. A piece of my childhood that'll never be forgotten. It was just an old plywood boat, the 75 Johnson electric choke. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would turn her sharp knot, make it whine, he'd say. You can't beat the way an old wood boat rides. Just a little late, across the Alabama line, but I was king of the ocean when Daddy let me drive. Just an old half-ton, short-bed Ford, my uncle bought new in 64. Daddy got it right, cause the engine was smoking. A couple of burnt valves and he had it going. Let me drive her, we'd haul off a load down a dirt strip where we'd dump trash off a thick pen road. I'd sit up in the seat and stretch my feet out to the pedals, smiling like a hero that just received his medal. It was just an old hand-me-down Ford with 3-speed on the column and a dent in the door. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me. Press that clutch and I'd keep it right. He'd say, a little slower, son, you're doing just fine. Just a dirt road with trash on each side, but I was merry, oh, and ready when Daddy let me drive. I'm grown up now, 3 daughters of my own. I let them drive my old Jeep across the pasture at our home. Maybe one day they'll reach back in their file and pull out that old memory and think of me and smile and say, it's just an old worn out Jeep, rusty old floorboards, hot on my feet. A young girl, 2 hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made. Turn it left and steer it right. Straighten up, girl, now you're doing just fine. Just a little valley by the river where we'd ride, but I was high on a mountain when Daddy let me drive. Just an old plywood boat with a 75 Johnson with electric choke.
Meridian's News Talk, MOX. Welcome back to Morning Show number 3 of 4, Big Hours. Bill Smith in with you, along with
Dumpster Dog and
Paul Tarver.
One and only Paul Tarver, folks. Paul's in with us until 8 o'clock today. Today, obviously, we're talking about fathers.
Yes, we are talking about fathers, and I'm just pleased as punch to be here today to honor our fathers just a little bit before Father's Day. And we do want to open up the lines if anybody wants to call in and talk about their dad or whatever they want to say. If they want to just say Happy Father's Day, that's fine,
right,
too. But if you got a great story or you got something you want to say to your dad, living or passed on, either way, you know, that's a cool thing about radio. I always think that the radio waves go wherever it is, and I think they have a great old big tuner up in heaven. Frankly, I think they hear.
Absolutely. No question about it. Good morning. You're on the Morning Show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thought I would give y'all a little update on downtown.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I came down. I just got here. And as I'm walking down 23rd Avenue around the corner there, they've got that blocked off. They got it blocked off in front of my store. Progress is being made again.
All right. It's coming along.
There's a big old hole in front of my store.
Uh-oh.
In the, by the curb. I made 3 calls last Friday about it, and it's still the only thing they've got is a little cone sitting up there to keep people from driving off in it. But progress is being made.
That's right. Hang on.
That's right.
If you can.
Hey, the good news is next week they'll be at your competitor's store.
No.
No?
I doubt that.
Well, but then they'll be at your neighbor's store.
Well,
how about
it'll be
that?
Nice when they get through. That's all I can say.
October the 8th is when I've been told.
October the 8th.
Be here before we know it. That's easy for us to say, but yeah. Be here before we know it.
Right. I won't hold my breath.
All right. Well, thanks.
Well, good luck.
Ma'am. If you look at the, come downtown, really, and look at the, you can see progress is being made on the bank. They've got the brick going on
right.
up.
They sure
do. The 22nd Avenue side is completed, and
that's good.
They're working on the inside attic part, I guess is what you call it. It's closest to my building, ma'am, more.
You know, they've got a sign down there. They've got a sort of a wall around that construction site, and there's
yes,
a sign.
It's been there a year.
And the sign a says no cameras or something like that. No
yeah,
cameras allowed.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, too.
I guess.
I don't know what the idea of that was. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. They just didn't want anybody seeing how deep their vault in the basement was going to be.
Oh.
I guess. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Could be.
But anyway, you can at least see bricks going up on the side of the wall.
It's going to be a pretty building.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, Ms. LaBiche, thank you.
If I can last a bit. And
well,
Paul?
Sure you can.
Just you're not Paul, are you?
No.
Ma'am. Okay. What?
Ma'am?
No, not you.
I'm Paul.
Paul.
You.
There
Paula,
he is.
Yes.
I have enjoyed your tidbits this morning.
Well, thank you.
Very informative.
Well, thank you.
I think that's very good.
Well, thank you very much.
You did a lot of work on that.
Well, thank you for calling.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
All right. Thank Bye. You. Thank you, Ms. LaBiche.
Bye-bye.
Let's go. Good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. Have you ever noticed the difference between the sermons on Sunday morning between Mother's Day and Father's Day?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Mother's Day is usually just praise and praise and praise. The Father's Day may start out that way, but it usually ends up as a sermon and telling fathers what they're doing wrong.
Really?
Yes. I have noticed. I've been to church. Maybe I'm going to the wrong church, but I have noticed that in our sermon.
Well, maybe that's the way it ought to be.
I guess it is, but it's always just amazing. They start out praising the fathers a little bit. It voice over is tells what fathers ought to be doing, usually.
Well, they probably need it.
Well, you know, I'm going to
They do need it, I'm sure.
I'm going to have to bring that up with my pastor. Y'all been talking about we have a
revival. Listen sometime and see if you don't notice that. Well, I mean,
David Wilkerson.
At least that's most Baptist churches and evangelical churches. They usually do that, I think.
Well, Davey Wilkerson is my pastor.
He's a fine fellow.
He's a good guy.
Yes, he is.
And now he has a unique story, you know, where his mother was deaf and blind.
Right.
And his father was deaf. And
right.
he very young had to become kind of the translator for the family.
Really?
But he will tell you great stories about his dad.
Oh, I know.
Bricklayer and you know, building walls and everything else. Now, his Father's Day and Mother's Day sermons so far have both complimented both fairly well and not spent too much time, you know, giving
right.
them a hard time.
Browbeating the dads.
Although, I would guess if I had to say anything, he's probably, you know, I would guess he's maybe just a smidgen harder on the dads.
Yeah, but David Wilkerson's an unusual person anyway, though. He's a gem in this part of the country, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You
in fact,
can't beat him. You can't beat him. Y'all are so lucky to have him for pastor.
He's a good guy.
I hope you don't ever lose him.
Well,
all right, thank y'all.
Thank you.
Speaking of Lauderdale United Methodist Church.
Nice segue.
Speaking of.
Nice segue.
It's Davey Wilkerson, pastor. They invite you to their revival June 24th through June 26th. And it's going to begin Sunday morning, 10:45 a.m. with a renowned minister and author. And I don't know if I've been pronouncing his name right, Paul, but Terry Tackle. From Houston, Texas, night services at 7
You're asking
7
p.m. me? I'm the guy that slaughters the English language when I come on here, and you're asking me?
Call Pastor Wilkerson, 679-8806 for more information. Again, that's Lauderdale United Methodist Church in their revival, June 24th through June 26th.
Man, what a growing church.
So
there's more youngins being born in that church. It's something in the water. I'm telling you.
Growing. Church is
it's
growing.
It's a growing church.
Good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Bill and Dumpster and Paul, y'all doing all right this morning?
Doing fine.
What's going on?
I wanted to call and brag on my father.
Go ahead.
I lost him 12 years ago, but he has taught me a lifetime of memories. I've had the pleasure of being a stepfather, not a father. But there's not a whole lot of difference in my eyes. And I tell you, he has really distilled into me what it is like to be a father.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could just carry on what he has taught me and distill into my stepchildren, it'd be well worth the memories I have of him.
Amen.
And he's really been something in my life as he was here and now that he is gone. And 12 years down the road, I still have people stop me and tell me, yeah, your dad was a fine man.
Doesn't that make you feel good?
I never thought that 12 years after the fact that I'd still be getting that. And, Paul, you knew my dad, Ray Barrett.
Yep, I did. And, in fact, I remember when I first moved to Meridian, I met him through a mutual friend. And on more than one occasion, I would go down to the DQ and sit down with him, and he'd buy me a Diet Coke or even an ice cream cone, and I would sit there and shoot a fat with him for 15, 20 minutes. Some of the sweetest men I knew, nice guy, and had a great time visiting with him, and he always seemed to enjoy my visits as well. So, yeah, I have missed him more than once.
You know, it's really – he grew up in the Masonic home, and when – he had me and my sister into this world. He really instilled into us what a father was.
Really?
And it's really gone with me. I've been divorced for 2 years with that set of stepkids, which are one's 18 and one's 17 now. Or maybe 3 years I've been divorced. And they still call me their stepdad, and I still call them my stepchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And then one I'm with now has a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I'm just like a daddy to them.
Well, one of the quotes I had in here that I wanted to say earlier was, any man can be a father. It takes someone special to be a dad.
I agree with that.
And that's I think that's the difference, you know. I also think that it has a lot to do with attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of guys who are fathers naturally, mm-hmm. okay, but they don't live up to the expectation.
Right,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and then there are those. One of the things that you also think of is that sometimes you got to remember this. Sometimes the poorest man leaves his kid the richest inheritance. You know,
well said.
That's true. And, well, I treat these children just like they were my own blood.
That's the only way you can do
anything for them. And they came with the package.
Yeah,
and I accepted them like I've accepted. Just like having my own child, and that all comes from my father.
Wow.
He is
remembered well.
But I just wanted to call and share my little story, and like you said, the radio waves carry. So I hope he's up there and can hear me.
He did. Okay.
He's got it on 1010. I'm sure.
That's it, because you know he wouldn't take it off of nothing else.
I don't even think they have a dial on that radio up in heaven.
They don't. One station only.
That's right.
Well, guys, amen. Y'all have a good morning.
Okay,
and
man.
Happy Father's Day to all of y'all.
Happy Father's Day to you.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And, Odie, I think you got a lot of your father's traits in you because you have a good heart and a giving spirit.
That's right.
Yes, he does.
Odie's been really especially nice to me. And I still have some packages for you, Odie, if you want to give me a call. speaking of dad. I grew up when it was, you know, basically the woman had the child and the dad looked at the baby and said, that's fine, it's yours, you take care of it.
Right.
And
it's not still like that?
I hope not.
Sometimes, probably.
Because we've got a stepson. It's one of Bob's stepsons when he was his first wife's children, who is the best dad in the world. And between him and his wife now, they have 7 kids. Mm. They each had 3.
Right.
Then they got old enough for the kids to stay home and take care of themselves, so they went off to do some mountain biking, and evidently they had a little bit too much enjoyment because we just got a new grandbaby 2 weeks ago.
Really? Good. Congratulations.
A little girl over in Gainesville, Texas. So, but they deserve it. She's a school teacher. Kenny's a hard worker. Mm. He has custody of his 3 boys, and he is the best dad in the world. But what I called to say is, you know, my dad, I remember him holding me in his lap when I was little. but I didn't realize how much maternal instinct he had till my mom got sick and died. And he took such good care of her at the same time trying to take care of me because I was getting sick. And since then, mom died Thursday. My sister, who was taking care of her, had a heart attack on Monday, had four bypasses that Thursday. And I think God gave Carol the heart attack in a way for Dad to have someone to take care of to help him grieve over Mom and that not be so hard. But his maternal instincts, I never experienced how much he really loved us and showed us, because we always had Mom to go to first. But this bout with Mom with her cancer, even though she didn't survive it and she didn't want to survive it, it brought out that maternal instinct that I didn't know he had. So it gave me a gift. And, you know, appreciate your parents while they're still alive. You know, tell them you love them. If he tells you not to call you, call him every day. Call him every day anyway. Because that's what my dad told me. He said, you don't have to call me every day. So I didn't, but he calls me.
Right.
Well said.
But appreciate your parents while you still got them. And like I said, I didn't know how much maternal instinct my dad had till my mom got sick and died. And now how much maternal he has taken over for us three grown children. So, just had to throw that little tidbit in.
All right, thank you.
We'll be listening.
Thank you for the call.
Bye.
We appreciate it very much. Good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
There he is.
Great show.
It's the Jim Boy.
Absolutely.
Jim Boy. Absolutely. That's right.
You know, nothing to diminish my father and my stepfather, who I didn't consider a stepfather, and even my father-in-law at this time, but, you know, As I approach Father's Day, I think how fortunate I am to have three wonderful children.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed me.
Right.
You know, there are so many memories that I have, and it gives me a great deal of joy to recall those memories, and my children have blessed me. You know, I also, of course, think of the mistakes that I've made in my life, and
mm-hmm.
I thank God he forgives me, and I have to ask my children to forgive me at times. You know, I truly love my children, and I want his best for them, you know, because he's the father, the true father, and he's the one we can depend on and they can depend on.
That's right.
You know, he just entrusted me with those children for a short period of time. So, I wish you all guys a happy Father's Day.
All right.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Well said. Thank you, sir.
I knew this was going to happen. But that's okay. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
We're trying to find out how folks really feel about their dads. I got to tell you some stuff. It's the second hour, and I guess since the first hour has been on statistics, I guess the second hour I'll tell you a little bit about my dad. I'm an only child, which you probably could tell.
Paul.
Yeah, I figured.
I knew something was.
I'm going to put that rumor to rest. Okay. It is true. My dad is the greatest guy. I mean, he was a mechanic for years, and he just was an awesome guy. Now, I didn't know Harmon Killebrew earlier. You know why I didn't know Harmon Killebrew? It's my dad's fault. Because on Sunday afternoon, when your dad took you home and turned on one of the two TV stations you could get on your TV and watched a ball game, my dad tuned in to the other station, and we watched Maureen O'Hare and John Wayne and, all that kind of stuff. So now you want to talk about movie stars and old-time Hollywood, and I got that covered, okay, because me and him was right there watching the movies together.
Mm-hmm.
I've said on this show, when we did the show on the TV theme songs, I talked about the fact that our family, as a family, watched the Waltons.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I think we watched it is because my dad identified with, the lifestyle, identified with the values, identified with the other stuff. And I remember the night that they honored Grandpa when he passed away on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that was one of the few times in my life when I saw my father cry, was watching the show where they were honoring, Zeb Walton. I saw it happen again when he lost his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, and that continuity, that strength of character that goes forward, and deep running emotion, because my father always had that sort of running under the surface, combined with the fact that he is always looking for the next greatest thing in terms of he could sell anything and wants to sell anything and is looking for anything to sell. He sold everything from laundry detergent balls to Zoom rockets to, you know, I can't even go into it all. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's an accident looking for a place to happen.
What do you mean?
He has been run over by an 18-wheeler.
What?
He was working underneath the truck one time, and a loaded 18-wheeler ran over one of his feet.
Good grief.
And he got up. Now, get this. Now, he gets up and walks a block and a half down the road where my mother was working, walked in and says, I need to go to the hospital because the truck just ran over my foot. And she said, well, let's take a look at it. And he says, no, I don't want to take my shoe off. I want to make sure everything's in one place when we get there. But he walked on a foot that was crushed by an 18-wheeler to get to my mother. This was before the days of cell phones, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the only way to get there.
That's right.
You know.
Man.
One of the funniest stories I ever heard was, you know, he was unloading a truck load of concrete, busted up concrete he was using for the line of ditch at his property. Mm-hmm. Or something. There was no telling what he was using it for. But anyway, I'm just assuming that's what it's for. So anyway, I had a fellow on the ground, and he was up in the truck, and he was taking the concrete and throwing it off to the fellow on the ground, and the fellow would pick it up off the ground and then put it where it needed to go,
yeah.
Right? So the guy, dad, would throw off a piece of concrete. Guy would get the concrete, and he'd turn around and wait for the next piece of concrete. And at one particular moment, he turned around, and my father was gone. He just vanished. Just poof, he was gone. So the fella got to looking. He wasn't in the truck. He wasn't up in the bed of the truck. And so he got to searching around and come find out. He's laying on the ground on his back, face up, laying in front of the truck. And so the fella says, well, what happened? He says, well, I grabbed a piece of the concrete wire that was in that concrete and pulled on it, and the wire let loose, and he flew over the top of the truck, the cab of the truck, landed flat on his back in front of the truck, had to catch his breath.
You're kidding.
Got up, went back, and finished unloading the truck.
Good night.
Had to knock his breath out of him.
It did. I'm telling you, he moved back to a family place down in Natchez. He's got a sister down there and a great uncle and a great aunt and all his family living down there. And so he's retired down in that area now. And he wanted a rifle for varmints.
For varmints.
And I told him, I said, I'm not giving you a rifle. I'm not going to give you a rifle.
Why?
He's an accident looking for a place to happen.
Oh, I forgot.
I don't like the fact that he's traipsing through the woods with a chainsaw.
Well, you got to go give him a .22 and you let him shoot those varmints.
Well, let me tell you what I did. The first thing I did for his birthday after he asked for that is I went to the store and I bought a toy gun with stoppers, you know. Mm-hmm. And I took it to him, and I gave it to him as a birthday present. And then for Christmas the next year, the end of that year, I went in, and I gave him a BB gun with 6,000 BBs. And I said, now, look, you go practice with this gun, with these BBs, and when you shoot 6,000 BBs and you ain't put your eye out, okay,
he's gonna shoot you with that BB gun.
Then I'll consider
him is what he's gonna do.
Anyway, I worked this thing. It took 2 years. I gave him cap guns, stopper guns, BB guns, all kinds of stuff. And finally, after a year and a half or 2 years, I gave him
a real gun,
a real rifle, .22. And the only person who shoots it is me. I go down there and he takes me out.
Well, you got him gun shy.
Well, no, I go down there and him and me go down there and we'll shoot 10 cans or something like that. We'll go shoot that.
No varmints.
He ain't kill no varmints. He can't kill a fly. I thought it was funny when he asked me. I want to kill some varmints. Nah, you ain't going to kill nothing.
Yeah, well.
He can go out there and maybe shoo them away.
Yeah.
He wouldn't kill them.
Well, he got his gun.
That's right.
So anyway, my dad is a great guy. I love him dearly, but there are just some things you have to, as you grow older, you have to come to accept about your parents. And, and one I accept about my father is he's just an accident looking for a place to happen. About every 2 years. He's the most overinsured human being in the world, and probably rightly so.
Yeah, well.
Because it has come in handy over the years.
Yeah.
He caught his leg on a tailpipe on a truck one time. He ended up spending 6 weeks in the hospital because a piece of rust went in and got next to the bone.
Oh.
He's put his hand through fans. I got to tell you. Let me tell you.
Is he okay physically
he's
now?
He's fine. Okay. That's the beauty of this whole thing. I don't get it. He is charmed.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
accidents that you and I would have a hard time coming back from.
He's okay.
He walks away with it with scratches, right. You know.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you this. One of the most powerful memories I have of my dad is of his hands. His hands were huge. I thought when I was a kid that they were huge because mm-hmm. of my, you know, I put my hand in his. To this day, his hand is huge. From the years of turning wrenches
yeah.
and the grease embedded mm-hmm. underneath the skin, they're the hands of a worker. They're the hands of somebody who taught me the value of work and the responsibility of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it when he wraps arms around me and pats me on the back and says, I love you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I know he did a lot of that work to make sure I had as good as he could give.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my story. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to come here today and talk about fathers. That's one of the reasons why I want to make sure that fathers get a fair share when it comes to the honoring system. And the phones are open. If you have some story that you want to tell
mm-hmm.
or you have something, you've been awful quiet over there, Bill.
Oh, I'm listening.
Do you not have a story?
As I am.
I mean, if anybody that would have a great story that nobody's heard before, it seems to me that you should have one.
Well, I don't know if I think everybody's heard all the stories. I don't really have any story. Dumpster probably has a lot of stories.
No, I really don't. My dad was old when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
My father.
How old was he?
He was in his 60s.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And he died about 7 years later.
Really?
After I was born. So I never really did get to know him that well.
You were seven when your dad died.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
We need to talk more often, Dumpster.
Yeah, really. It's not like y'all don't do this every day, it seems to me. You know, I feel a relief. I feel like I've facilitated some you know,
you
meeting
broke,
of the
you
minds
broken
here.
A barrier there, haven't you?
I don't know.
I mean, what is this, group therapy?
I don't know,
but I'm a little uncomfortable.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, let's. Why don't we lighten this up just a little bit?
I want to talk about, you know, get your thoughts about like a dad's relationship to their son, and how that's different with a dad and their daughter. Not that it's better or worse, but maybe different.
You know, based on my experience as a son,
mm-hmm.
and the short time I had as a stepfather to a daughter,
mm-hmm.
I find that it's a lot like, and this is going to sound silly when I put it this way, but the thought that comes to my mind is it's a lot like dogs and cats, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because dogs almost have this instantaneous, unconditional, we're buddies
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And I think boys have that. I think girls, it takes longer to build up that trust level,
mm-hmm.
just like it does when you get a new cat.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to that point, it won't ever leave you.
Yeah. You think it's easier to mess up a girl as a parent than it is a boy? Boys may shake things off that girls don't. And I don't know.
I have no evidence mm-hmm. for this, and I have no reason to say this other than the fact that it's just the impression that I have. I would think that once a trust is broken
mm-hmm.
with a girl, it's a lot harder to repair
mm-hmm.
and takes a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if ever, I don't know if it would ever be. I don't know if it would ever be rebuilt the same. I'm not sure that boys would carry that long. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody out there can tell me that I'm wrong. But mm-hmm. it just seems to me. Now, maybe I'm...
I tend to agree. I mean, I tend to agree with you. I think so. And I see also that fathers probably could have the potential to, you know, mess up a child.
I think they do. But
you
know
more
what?
More than a mom.
You know, I don't know that. But the thing about it is, you know, raising kids doesn't come with a manual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to make mistakes, and you try to figure it out. And frankly, that's part of building that relationship and building that life together. You know, a family doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of work to be a family. You know, whether it happens naturally or if it's one where two people just, you know, bring two families together like the Brady Bunch. You know, I mean, it takes a lot of work. You don't just wake up one day and be a family. And I think one of the things that's interesting is that I've seen in my lifetime has been that, I don't want to say erosion, but that change in roles over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be when I grew up, of course, there was no expectation. I mean, the dad was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was dad's going to work. Now, there was, you know, it was probably a 50-50 shot whether your mom worked or not. I mean, mine did. I've already told y'all I had I was a latchkey kid, but that was okay with me because I didn't know any different.
That was, right.
And
that
was fine. And then when my parents were there, they loved me as hard and as heavy as they could when they weren't, you know.
Sure.
So I don't have an issue there. But, you know, one of the statistics that's changed over the years has been the number of dads who decide to stay at home and actually be the stay-at-home parent.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a good example. Let me see if I can find that. Here we go. The number of single fathers in 2006. We said that a while ago. I was trying to find the number of fathers who are part of married couple families was 26.5 million. I can't find the one. Here we go. Estimated number of stay-at-home dads. These are dads who decide by choice to be the stay-at-home parent.
6 million.
Not as many as you'd think.
2 million.
Still not that high.
400,000.
159,000.
Really?
Oh, well,
I thought it'd be
many.
More than that.
These married fathers have children younger than 15, and they've remained out of the labor force for more than 1 year so that they can care for the family. But now get this. These fathers cared for 283,000 children.
Oh, a few of them, but they took care of business.
Yes, they did.
Good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a comment concerning Dumpster's dad. He may not have got to know him long, but I knew him my entire life. I'm 80 years old. I'm his first cousin, and he had a great dad.
All right.
He was a wonderful businessman. He was kind to his nieces and his boys, and Paul had three brothers who I think made pretty good substitute dads for him.
They did.
Somewhere along the line.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask a while ago, and I forgot to ask it. I got tied up in what we were talking about, but, you know, was there an uncle or was there
other brothers.
Family members who stepped in and actually played that role for you?
Right, brothers.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I just had to say it, Paul, he was super to me, and I remember I called him Mr. Marabou because St. Lucy called him that, and one day he said, I'm not giving you any more dimes if you don't call me Uncle, and so I did.
Yep.
Just had to say this, Paul. You had a great dad.
I know I did. Thank you.
Thank you
for saying
much.
It.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. We appreciate that.
I got one other thing I was going to tell you before we get to the top of the hour, have I got time?
Quickly.
Remember I mentioned earlier www.fathers.com?
Mm-hmm.
They have a thing on there for $20. You can donate $20 to the Center for Fathering, and National Center for Fathering, and they will actually send your father a nomination or an award, putting him in their Fathering Hall of Fame.
Really?
And it'll be a nice certificate and everything else, and it basically says that your father is now a member of the Fathering Hall of Fame. That's a nice little way for them to raise a little bit of money and for you to do something special for your dad. So it's www.fathers.com.
All right, we've got Paul Tarver, and we've got him another hour because maybe the train's still there, and we'll keep him here, keep him locked in. And you mentioned that the children don't come with a manual. And I've got a story something that happened yesterday. I wanted to mention. I'll tell you next hour, just to give you a story. Well, when it comes to my parents, it kind of goes back with my dad at least about the old baseball scores and that kind of communication. But, you know.
Baseball scores, what do you mean?
Well, you know, we're not really openly loving and kissing on each other, is what I mean.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it's understood.
But that's okay as long as he knows it.
Yeah.
As long as you know it. That's all that matters.
Quick break. We'll be back. Paul Tarver in with us until 10 o'clock. I got to check on my cohort over there. How you, dog?
I'm hanging in.
Dumpster Dog.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Let's talk about the Liberty Shop.
All right.
Time for the Profit Center. What is it?
Cleverly
crafted.
Cleverly crafted commercial message.
Liberty Shop, a touch of class. Miss Robbie Hales